Hey, you should save for it.
Oh, man.
Okay, it's a big deal. I saw in a certain Hasidic show, how I say for it, that he wrote, there's a cloud, whatever it's up to Kaplan, he didn't say it.
They don't say it in the whole year.
Okay. You ready? We're on?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We were talking yesterday about the Chiddush of Chaim in Hilchos Eidos and Shtaros, and I just wanted to summarize today at least Rashi Prakim of the main Torahs of Rav Chaim and the Rav about Shtaros, and really the nature of what's going on in Shtar. Right, so I'm going to start with summarizing some of what we discussed last time. Right, Shtar at first glance seems like regular Eidos. Right? After all, two Eidim could come to you and speak and say, we saw Reuven borrow a million shekels from Shimon. Or two Eidim could come and communicate in writing that we saw Reuven borrow a million shekels from Shimon. The first problem, of course, is that we have a din of piyam v'lo m'pik savam. So how do you get out of that problem of piyam v'lo m'pik savam? Really gets into the question of to what extent is Eidos is it a shtar within the regular categories of normal eidos? Or do we say, no, shtar is a new chiddush, a chetz of shtar, that transcends the normal categories of eidos for reasons which we will explain in a moment. So if you start with, now, I'll be very honest, just because shtar is a big chiddush doesn't mean that it has to be a chiddush in every way that I suggest. You could say it's a chiddush, but I don't agree with this application. But at the very least, if we're talking about whether we see shtar try to fit it into the normal categories of eidos, or see it as some special chiddush which the Torah was mechadish for unique purposes that we will try to explain and justify from a common sense perspective as well. So let's start with the question of eidos shebichsav. So Rabbi Tam famously says, eidos shebichsav is kosher as long as it's not an elain, right? As long as you're theoretically able to testify about Ped. The Ksos, the one in, there were two Ksosim in brackets in the last few Makor sheets, this is the one in Simchat Ches. The Ksos assumes that for Rabbeinu Tam, Shtaros are kosher d'oraisa because they're Eidos Bechsav and Eidos Bechsav is kosher. And in which case, it could just fit into the normal categories of Eidos. Ah, it's Bechsav, Eidos, well, it's Bechsav. Who said it couldn't be Bechsav? We thought it said it couldn't be Bechsav, we heard Rabbeinu Tam it didn't. So if we're just asking about, sort of how we understand this whole issue of shtaros, is this a regular eidos, or is this a new type of, let's even call it a chefza shel eidos, meaning not just we hear some words from people through ksav, but it's a new type of eidos that's a special chefza shel eidos of a shtar, not just the communication from the Eidim who signed it. So, the first question we want to deal with is, how do we answer the objection of Mipihem Velo Mipi Sama? Right? Rabbeinu Tam says that, so here is Rabbeinu Tam, he says, Eidos Bechsav is kosher. Now, the reason I'm putting the Ktos here is because you could say, and it's quite possible from reading Tosos, it's always hard reading Tosos to know when Rabbeinu Tam's talking and when Tosos is talking. It's very possible you say, Rabbeinu Tam held this, but he also held the Chiddush of Shtar. And he just held there were two things. There was Eidos Bechsav, which was kosher as a Chiddush, and there was, which was kosher. And there, so it's no guarantee that he thinks Shtar is Eidos Bechsav, but the Ktos certainly understood that Rabbeinu Tam didn't have Tzvei Dinim. He only had a extra Eidos Bechsav. Right? So here I'll just add that the Ksos assumes Bezehu Din Shtar. Right? That according to Rabbeinu Tam, that was the Din of Shtar. It was Eidos Shebichsav.
Why don't we have a third category that it's a new thing that's equivalent to Eidos?
Oh, okay, we'll put that column in a second. As opposed to Rov Rishonim, what did Rov Rishonim say? We saw Tosfos, we saw the Baal HaMor, we saw the Ramban, I think it was in brackets, and many other Rishonim say, no, Eidos Shebichsavos, if the Eidim do it as Eidos on their own initiative, let's stick with the mainstream shot. But if it's, as the Baal HaMor says, Pikes of O, if it's done by the initiative of the Mischayev, of the fellow who is giving up the money, then that the creation of some new parsha. Right? There's Eidos. Eidos means that Eidim testify against your will. Normally, Eidim testify against the will of the guy who's losing. That's why the guy who's gaining. It's always easy to get his permission. Right? Normally, Eidim testify against the will of the Mischayev. That, you have the rules of Eidos and Bechsavos puzzle. But a shtar is different. I want you to make a shtar. I am asking you to make this on my behalf. It is at my behest. I have the power to create a chetzal shtar, which transcends the normal rules of Eidos. Yes. Who gave anyone the power to make something that transcends the normal rules of Eidos? The answer is, if anyone has that power, it's the guy who's giving up the money. It's his money that he's giving up by, in this shtar. So perhaps he has the right to create this. And this, we could say, Rov Rishonim, who say that, no, that a that a shtar is a special din. And why? We saw the mainstream opinion was because of Da'as HaMischayev, right? Or the Baal HaMor threw it into the pasuk, below the peak Savo, but the peak Savo is okay. And if you notice the way a Stam Shtar sounds, it's actually interesting, right? Those of us who made Aliyah, not the people who told me I'm talking about Herschel Schechter back in the States, but now we go to Chasna, we're going to read, it says, Shlishi v'Shabbes, Arba'ah v'Esrim Yom, L'Chodesh Elul, Shnas, Chamesh, Alach, M'Shamei, O, Shiv v'Teisha, etc., etc. Anin Sadi, Eich, Shehachasan, V'Chuli. Right? It's interesting, in America, if you remember how the Ksuba worked there, it just said, Eich, Shehachasan, V'Chuli. The Amar La, etc. Meaning, on the one hand, the Shtar is talking, the Edom are recording. I'm inside you. We say this and this and this. But on the other hand, they're really talking about, they're talking, Amr la lahad b'sul tada, etc. What are they saying? They're not saying we testify that this is what happened, like a normal testimony. They're saying, let us tell you what this fellow said. And they're really talking in his name. As a matter of fact, in the Get, and in the Get, there are no differences in hugging between different places. Unlike Aksuba. Aksuba, you can find, I'm pretty sure in America, and I'm not talking about, I'm pretty sure in America, among Ashkenazim, you'll find one Nusuf Liksuba. In Israel here, you can find 20 different Nusufas Liksuba among Ashkenazim, all of which are just different percentage balance of Sephardi and Ashkenazi Ksubas, for the most part, because there's a lot of pressure Sephardi and Hagim and Eretz Yisrael. But in Gittin, there's only one Minhag. For Gittin, because we're very strict about it, and in Gittin, it doesn't say Anan Sadi, etc. It just says, I, the husband, said to this person who's my wife, Bikan Mastana, etc., etc., etc. You know, it's really the person talking to the Shtar. And that's the insight of Rov Rishonim. They say, no, when is the Eidim talking on their own initiative? That's rules of Eidos. And one of the many reasons it would be possible is because I could give you 100 more reasons till 1 o'clock why it would be possible as the rules of Eidos. One of the many reasons is because it's Bechsav. But over here, that's Bipik Savo. It is not the Edom talking. Even if the Edom say, this is what the fellow said, it is the fellow talking. Now, again, I don't have a Tikkun Shtaros here. It's an interesting question. And what does the Shtar say of Mecher? And what does the Shtar say of, all the things that we don't really use Shtaros for nowadays because we just use secular documents. But I know the Rambam says, you want to sell a field, what do you write? You write, Harei Sadai Mechurlach. Right? Who's talking? The fellow is talking. What about a loan document? It's an interesting question. Maybe, at the very least, Baal HaMor would say, no, you have to emphasize, not just we saw this guy hand this guy money. No, but we saw this fellow said, I borrowed money from him and I owe him the money. And that would be the insight of what makes the Shtar special. Okay, we'll have to develop a little more. The Rambam has a third answer. Divided up a little differently, but the Rashi, Agav, I think I put in the latest, I just said if you're interested, Rashi later on Gittin, who's on the sugya of Bifim Velo Mipik Savim, says, and Shtaros are different. Shtaros are not a problem Mipik Savim. Why? Because Shtar is different when it's written at the time. Okay, he doesn't explain exactly what he means. Shtar is different than it's written at the time. But I think what he means is similar or the same as the other Rishonim. Stam, if Eidim come home and write something on their own, that's Absul of Eidus Shebachzab. That's Eidus. Shtar was written at the time as part of the transaction. The fellow says, write a Shtar. Then, that is different. That's a kept of Shtar. So Rashi also clearly, and Daf Ayin Aleph Amin Aleph and Gittin, he says, don't confuse a Shtar with Eidus Bechzab. Eidus Bechzab is possible. Rashi El Torah said so. Shtar is kosher. Shtar is different from Eidus Bechzab, not like Rabbeinu Tam. And Rashi says, why? So he says, here he just has one little line. That's the normal way you sign it that day. What does he mean by that day? I think probably what he means is like the other Rishonim. You sign it at the behest of the parties, not on your own, meaning at the time. Or even if he means his own thing, maybe it's a nupshat. What makes a chef shal shtar? A chef shal shtar is if it's written as part of the transaction, not if it's written independently. Okay, but nonetheless, it's a chef shal shtar. The Rambam says, taka, it's possible to rice, it's only kosher midrabanan. The Rambam says, let's recall, it's only kosher midrabanan. Right? Says the Rambam that it's possible midrabanan, that kosher midrabanan, it's only takana midrabanan. And now, yesh lodin harbe in the Rambam, and I didn't bring all the course about this, once it's kosher midrabanan according to the Rambam, how did the Rabbanan make their takana? Did the Rabbanan make their takana that we'll make an exception to the rule of Mifik and allow Eidus Bechzab in its regular Eidus? Right? That's clearly not the Mahalach. Rav Chaim was making the domain. Right, for the Rambam, you could go both ways. You could say, Midrabanan Hechshiru Eidus Bechzab. Midrabanan, they were Machshir Eidus Bechzab, and they made an exception to the rule of Mifik Sabam. Why? For Tikkun Olam. Or, you, in which case, maybe for the Rambam, it's regular Eidus. Or you could say, no. Midrabanan tiknu din shtar. And if you'll give me a second to ask where the Rambam gets that again. So that's the Rambam, yesh lodin lukana lukana. He says, drabanan, midrabanan. How were they mitakin? Were they mitakin like Rov Rishon of a special din of shtar? Or were they mitakin like Rabbeinu Tam, a hefsher Eidus b'chsav? Not clear.
Then you have the Rambam's kasha. About from Geek.
Aha. So now I want to point this out. This is an interesting point about the Rambam. The Rambam is very clear that he says, right, Eidus, Shtar is only kosher midrabanan. Shtar is only kosher midrabanan. So the Ramban is the kasher. What do you mean Shtar is kosher midrabanan? You want to say, what about Gittin? Right? The kasher of La Sefer Christos, Venus and Biyada, isn't Get kosher midaraisa? You can tell me Get is only midrabanan? Obviously, Get is midaraisa. That's a class. He also mentioned, hey, Shtar Kiddush is also Kashmi Daraisa. Right? Clearly, there are at least some Shtaros that are Kashmi Daraisa. You know, if you want to say, I don't know, you want to be Nidchak to say that, you want to be Nidchak to say Shtar of a Sodis Drabbanan, because maybe it's only learned from Pasuk and Yirmiyah. Maybe if you want to, I'll let you say that. You want to even say Shtar Kiddush is Drabbanan based on that weird Rambam Divrei Sofer. But Shtar, at very least, the Get is clearly Daraisa. Right? So here's the interesting question. Let's just make ourselves a little box here. For the Rambam, he says Eidus Shtar is only Midrabanan. So the Ramban is the famous Kasha. What about Get? Get is Kasha Midaraisa. So how do you answer the famous Kasha of the Ramban? Here we have a fundamental Machlokas Achronim. How would you answer the Ramban's Kasha? After all, the Rambam knows there's such a thing as Get. He knows that Get is Daraisa. So how can you say Shtar is only Midrabanan?
The Rambam doesn't talk about Gittin. He only talks about Dinei Mamonos and Dinei Nefashos. There's no Shtar Doraisa.
But maybe...
But also by Dinei Nefashos, you'd say that's not Doraisa. Isn't trying to kill yourself with Dinei Nefashos from Shtar that's not Doraisa?
Yeah, after all, maybe Get with time to do Nefashos, although I guess in Get comes to Pater, not to Mechayev. Okay, good, but let's just go a little further.
Does Rambam ever refer to Get as a star?
I
didn't call it a star in the Pateras, like, or the beginning.
I'm not sure, but it certainly is a star. I mean, yeah, but it doesn't matter. It's still like BP of Lobby Ksavim, right? It's still like Ksav of Adim.
The Miller like started like his shir in the same, that Tosus refers to Get as a regular star, like the first Tosus, but. Mm-hmm. The Rambam doesn't necessarily see it as a shtar at all.
Okay, but it's still Eidos B'chsav. I hear the timing. You know, that might be a direction. A direction might be to say that get is really a different ballgame. We're still being machshir Eidos B'chsav. It's still a little funny, and I'm not sure how much it's going to help us in the end for reasons that I'll mention in a second.
The reply, when he deals with the Rambam's gosh, he deals with it on two levels. Even if you want to say what, I don't know what his name is.
Okay, what's the first
even
level?
Even if you want to say that to get is a separate instrument by itself, and it's not the regular Din of Eidos, for whatever reason. But then the second country, yes, he's still using... You still need to get to prove
that. So Joel's made, I mean, he's just quoting Rav Chaim. But these are going to be important concepts that we have to keep clear, especially for the sugya of Rav Elazar, Rav Meir, etc. Just.
Yes, you could also go to the second exception. Yes, Eidos doesn't work, but
the
Torah is explicit, and
that
does work. Isn't
the
Torah the same?
Yeah, so you could just make Zeris Okay, fair enough. Let me just think for a moment here. Hold on. First of all, we all have to differentiate between there are two functions of shtar in Shas, Shtar Kinyan and Shtar Raya. Shtar Kinyan means it makes the chalos happen, regardless of whether it proves it or not. Right? Like, for example, we paskin Edim Sira Karsi. If I have a get with no Edim on it, and I give it to my wife in front of two people, that's a Shtar Kinyan that makes the divorce happen. It doesn't prove anything because there's no Edim on it, right? You can't use that as proof afterwards, Shtar Kinyan. So Shtar Kinyan means it makes the chalos happen. Which chalos happened to Shtar? A get can only happen, gerusha can only happen b'shtar. Kedusha, one of the three ways, is b'shtar. Kinyan karka, one of the many ways, is b'shtar. Right? An eved is nikna b'shtar. There are certain things that are nikna b'shtar. Then there's what we call shtaraya. Shtaraya means it is a proof of something. Now, a shtaraya doesn't necessarily have to be the kinyan. For example, you know, I can lend you 1,000 shekel, and what makes you owe me the money? What makes you owe me the money is the fact that I lent you. With or without a shtar, you owe me the money, right? You owe me the money with or without a shtar. What's the point of the shtar? To prove something afterwards. So a shtar can have two different, you know, and this is just, you have to not confuse these concepts, Rav Chaim says. There's two different things a shtar does. Number one, in some cases, and it doesn't always do both of them. Sometimes there's one, not the other. Sometimes the other, not one. Sometimes both. It can make a chalos happen. Nothing with proving it afterwards, just like Klavi Shmaya Galia, in truth. It can prove something afterwards, or it can make the chalos happen and then prove it afterwards. So says Rav Chaim, what does the Torah say a get does? The Torah says that a get makes the chalos happen. It's a shtar kinyan on Gerushin. The fact that it makes the chalos happen has nothing to do with this, and that's why I think Eli's thing is not necessary anymore. This fact that it makes the chalos happen has nothing to do with what the Rambam says the Eidos Shebechsav. Get needs Eidim to make the chalos happen. Yeah, that's not proving anything. Maybe that's just for the formality and seriousness of the Indian. So let's take, for example, the example in Gittin would be Shtar Kinyan means that it makes the Gerushin happen. Shtar Raya means, you know what else it does? It also proves later that it happened. Let's say the woman a year later comes into Bezdin and says, I'd like to get married to this fine bacher. And Bezin says, what do you mean? We know you used to be married to someone else. She says, no, I'm divorced. They say, prove it, because you're a bechezka, say she's just still proven otherwise. She takes out a get and proves it. How do we know she takes out a get and proves it? Because the Mishnah says in the fourth parak that Rav Gamliel made a con that the Eidim have to sign on the get. Mishum tikkun olam. Why do Eidim have to sign on the get? If we pass like Rav Elazar, that you don't need to sign on the get, tikkun olam, so she can prove it later, so she won't get messed up later, the poor girl. She'll want to get married 2 years later, and she won't be able to get married. She'll say, what do you mean I was divorced fair and square? They say, oh yeah, how do we know? She says, well, Ploni and Ploni saw. We're Ploni and Ploni out, and they got sick and died. They went to Medina Zayam, so the poor girl will be stuck. So clearly, it's clear in the Mishnah that it is a proof, meaning it proves later that she was migurishes. These are two separate functionalities of the get. One is that it caused the chalos to happen, alibi de emes. Two is that it proves it later. Now, says the Ktzos, it's only forced in the Chumash that get is kosher to Shtar Kinyan. That has nothing to do with the Rambam's question of Eidos. Maybe in the Torah it's a Shtar Kinyan and doesn't prove anything. Does it say in the Torah that a get proves she was divorced? No, it just says it makes the chalos happen. It says the Mishnah proves she was divorced. So says the Ktzos, that same one in Da'at Simon Chav Ches, says the Ktzos, yeah, It's just a throwaway line in the middle of the Shakta Vatari in that one of the Chachas. He says very clearly, he says, Midrabana, they made a takana that get proved your divorce, Mishum Igun. I don't start asking me, how can Midrabana make a takana be the rice? It's not a proof. Okay, if you want to use Avkinu, use Avkinu, whatever it is you want to say. So says the Tzos that Enachanami, Midrabana, again, is not valid Eidos. It's only a Shar Kinyan. It's only Midrabana that it's valid Eidos, the same way they're validated in Dini Mamanus, Mishum Shalotin Odel Smei Lovin. They validated it in. So this is the Shita of the Ktos. The Ktos says, Midoraisa get kosher bitoras Shtarkinyan. The Eino Raya Klau. And Akanami. There is no Raya power to get Midoraisa, and it never said in the Chumash. Did it ever say in the Chumash the woman can prove she's divorced with a get? No. In Midoraisa, how does she have to prove she's divorced? Well, she better receive her get in front of a lot of people who are, you know, young and healthy and not likely to move away. And, you know, if she finds 20 people to witness the giving of the get, and they're all relatively healthy people, then the odds are she'll always be able to prove she was divorced. And if not, that's not her problem. And then Midrabanan, they made a takana mishum mishum igun. But get kosher bitoras shtaraya rak Midrabanan mishum igun. That's the chiddush of the Ktos. In which case, it's not so, you know, really a get at, is only proof something Midrabanan. How could it be that Midoraisa, a get doesn't prove she's divorced? Could be. I mean, it's a little funny. Like, Midoraisa, how is this supposed to work? She's supposed to receive a get and then have to keep track of eyewitnesses to any time she needs to prove she's divorced? Maybe. I mean how do you keep track of anything?
That's why but they didn't give Ishurina. They don't give the woman doesn't hold the get.
Ah, that's an interesting question. Maybe Midoraisa, you could get a Maisa Besdin. Okay.
What do we do?
It's an interesting question. If that works, Midoraisa. Okay, but that's the so. The Nesivos, however, in Simon Chavches, which I didn't put on the Makoros, but it's before in the Reb Chaim. That's the next paragraph from Reb Chaim. He says, first of all, Al Shtar Kinyan, that doesn't bother me. We really care about Shtar Raya. And then he doesn't even have a mean of the Ktos. He read the Ktos, but he doesn't even have a mean, that's correct. Says the Nesivos, which I didn't put on the Makoros, but Reb Chaim, which I did, says Reb Chaim, he says, I don't think it was on the Makoros. Oh, it doesn't matter. If it was in the one on the Makoros enough, I think it was in the Sivus and Simon Chaches there. But Reb Chaim says it very explicitly. Says Reb Chaim, no, even as a Shtaraya, it's Kosher Midoraisa. Why didn't the Rambam say Shtaraya is only Kosher Midorabanan? And he doesn't say, oh, there's a difference between Ishos and, because I don't know, why should there be a difference between Ishos and Mamanos in terms of that? And he doesn't say Xeris Akasa because he's not convinced that Xeris Akasa. The Torah never said it's a Raya. The Torah just says Behava the Chalos. Unless you want to infer from the Torah. So says Reb Chaim something very sharp. So this is, you know, I mean, the Sivus doesn't say it in these words. This is Reb Chaim's words. So the Sivus says, it's basic Shita, but this is Reb Chaim. He says no. He says, a get is kosher, the Torah's Raya mina Torah. Why? So now he says, even the Rambam admits there's such thing as a chiddush of chetzer shel shtar midoraisa. That's why Reb Chaim, he really wants this chetzer shel shtar to be doraisa. Even the Rambam, you're going to say that for the Rambam, after all, Reb Chaim can say whatever he wants, but he wants to say for the Rambam. You're going to say the Rambam doesn't make chetzer shel shtar, it's just a tekana d'rabbanan? And if it's a tekana d'rabbanan, may hate to taste they would invent the chetzer shel shtar. Right? Why would they invent something? He says, no, of course chetzer shel shtar is midoraisa. And then, of course, it's easy to say the d'rabbanan just expanded it a little. Why? So he says very pashut. He says, a shtar kinyan is bechlal hachidush shel shtar v'kosher b'toras eidus, meaning raya, gam min ha-torah. But a shtar raya sh'eino shtar kinyan then is kosher rak midrabanan. What did he say? He says that you have to differentiate a shtar kinyan that's also shtar raya and a shtar raya that's only shtar raya. Shtar kinyan is also shtar raya. If I say I'm selling you my field, and that I'm selling you a field, the kinyan shtar, and it's also a proof. I'm divorced my wife, b'shtar, and it's also a proof. As opposed to shtaraya, I lent you money, b'kesef, and then I also write a shtar in it, or I sold you my field with chazaka, and then I also decide to write a shtar in it. A shtar that's just a raya is only kashrut drabanan as a tekana drabanan. Well, I like for loans. I lend you the money. You don't owe me the money because of the shtar. You owe me the money because of the kesef. So the shtar is pure raya. That's only drabanan. But a shtar that in and of itself is the kinyan, that's kashrut even midaraisa. What's pshat? Pshat is, okay, that when we say, certainly the way the Rav understood it, midas hameschayev, the Rav connected it to everyone else, it's only if it's written midas hameschayev. A shtar is only kashrut written midas. What does it mean midas hameschayev? Midas hameschayev doesn't mean the guy who's losing out. It means the guy who is being makna. When the makna authorizes the writing of the shtar, that's his kinyan, that's part of his kinyan. That's a real das hameschayev. That's part of his kinyan. Then that makes a chiddush of shtar. When the shtar is written independently of the kinyan, what's the das hameschayev there? No one's actually giving anything up. They're just like putting themselves in a negative position with proofs against them. That's not enough to make a shtar. So that's basically, but you can say it however you want. Rav Chaim's chiddush is very clear. When the shtar is also the kinyan, then that's das hameschayev makes a chetz shel shtar and idus midoraisa. And that's bein b'ishus, bein b'mamonos, if the shtar is also the kinyan, such as if I sell you a field, which is nicknamed a shtar. When the shtar is a pure raya, then that's more like the Edom writing on their own. I authorize them. I authorize them, but who am I? I'm not giving up anything now. I'm not selling anything now. I'm not a party to a transaction now. I was a party to a transaction 5 minutes ago. Okay, that's where Chaim's part. It's only mipiksovo, it's only das meschayev, when the fellow engaging in the transaction writes the shtar as part of the transaction. Then it's the chiddush of shtar for raya also. When it's kinyan, it's also raya midaraisa. When it's not kinyan, it's only raya midarabanan. That's where Chaim drew the Rama, in which case the Rama would say, well, I mean, of course the chetz shel shtar. And even when the Rabbanan extended it, Mustama, they extended the idea of Chetz Shel Shtar, not they made Aegis Bechsav. So then it would make a lot of sense. Even though there's many, many rays in the Rambam, both ways, and complicated Rambams you have to deal with. Leah, do you want to say something?
That's okay.
Okay.
Maybe then you have to answer the basic question, how do you have agents here? They don't know if there ever was a...
Give me a second! I have to answer. Of course I have to answer, because I put that on the course. not only because you... Yehuda Ba'od Bekra?
I only read the course, yeah, that's what I mean.
Okay. So, not to worry. Okay, now, let's go to...
I'm trying to get you to put the third guy up.
Okay, it's not going to help. Let's just go to one other issue before we sort of come back to where we were, to where we started. Let's ask the following questions. I didn't give a lot of course about, but a fascinating question. We know the psul of aid me feed, right? If I hear two agents say something and I go repeat what they said, that's not valid. That's, what do they call it, hearsay testimony? Right? Aid me pi aid is not valid. What about aid me pi shtar? Two aidim testify what they saw written in a shtar. Is that valid or not? That already comes up to what extent we say, commission nefra idus of a bezdin tummy. After all, if two aidim come and say the psak of a bezdin, that's not aid me. If two aidim come and say, me and my friend say, we heard Reuven and Shimon give this testimony, that's possible. It's aid me pi aid. We come and say, we heard Bezdin accept and paskin the testimony of Reuben and Shimon. That's AVP Bezdin. That's okay. So what is a shtar? Do we say, Kamisha Nechbe, do some Bezdin dummy? And a shtar is already, it's not AVP A. That's AVP Chalos Din. Or do we say, no, that's AVP A. So this is a big machlokes for Shonim. It's very unclear what the sheet of the Rambam is in terms of this in Perek Ches. Halacha Hey of Hilchos Eidos, which I'm not going to go into, but let's just ask this question. What about Eid Mipi Shtar? What if you testify what you saw written in a Shtar? What's the din of that? So Tosos is very clear. Yavamos Tosos is the clearest you could possibly be in the Sugya Yavamos that we refer to again and again. Tosos says, there it says, if an Eid testifies what he wrote in his diary, it's puzzled. Tosa says, what's the problem? Why is it puzzle? And Tosa says, Kashalari, he brings a right for Bava Kamma. In Bava Kamma, it says that if you know it's written in Shtar and it gets burned, you can write a new Shtar. That proves that Aiden can testify what they saw in a Shtar. And then he says, very, very Pasha. He says, Pasha, Aiden can testify what they saw in a Shtar, that's no problem at all. Why? The Aiden have some no Shtar. Mishnech, we do some of the Bezdin. And what's the problem? Yivamos, okay, he starts out saying the problem Yivamos is only if they say they saw it themselves. When really they read in the Shtar, or they say they remember it themselves, really read in the Shtar, that's an inaccuracy. But if you testify what you saw in the Shtar, that's okay. And let me just affiliate a phrase with this. Right? What phrase would we affiliate with this? We affiliate with this the phrase of, you know, this special din is expressed by Kamisha Neftara. They do something that's been, meaning it's accepted in a special route, not in the normal route. So what about the question of Eid Mipi Shtar? So it says Tosos, and I think that would fit very much the idea there's some Chiddush of Shtar. Says Tosos, the Shtar Kamisha Nefkara Eid Dusan Bebezdin, dummy. Right? After all, they're not testifying what they heard from someone. They're testifying a fully accepted Cheftz of Eidus and Bezdin. Oh, that's not true. The Shtar never made it to Bezdin. Bezdin never read the Shtar. Doesn't matter. What are they trying to say? They're not trying to say it's as if magically we pretend that Bezdin read the Shtar, interrogated it, and accepted it. No. Obviously, it didn't literally come to Bezdin. They mean to say, just like Eidus that's accepted in Bezdin is not just the Eidus talking, but is an accepted Cheftz of Eidus that has been accepted as a fact by the judicial system and transcends the mere statements of the speakers. Likewise, a shtar is not just a way for people to communicate with you. A shtar becomes an accepted cheftz of eidos that transcends the statement of the original speakers. And therefore, why? That's the chiddush of shtar. Okay, maybe I'll mention in a moment why would the Torah be mechadish such a chiddush of shtar? One reason might be because let's go back to this poor girl who got divorced. You know, it's very hard to live with having to bring live Edim all the time. And Edus Shebechsav is not a great solution because, after all, you know, you can cast all kinds of doubts on it. And how do you know the Edim are kosher? And how do you interrogate them, etc.? Well, what is Edus Shebechsav? How do they interrogate them? How do they do Drish Shebechakir on the Edim Shebechsav? I know you're up on it, you don't need that. You know, let's say before that, Takana. So maybe one reason that the Torah is Mechadish the special Cheftza, or the Rabbanan expanded the special Cheftza according to Reb Chaim, is because it's just people need to be able to have portable testimony. But I think we'll understand deeper soon. Over here, you might very well say there are other Rishonim would definitely hold this, and the whole mess in the Achronim, what the Rabbanan holds, etc. You would say, puzzle. Kimo, aid, Mipa. Tosos is not mefurish. There are other ways to explain that. Shad of the Gemara is against Tosos. Shad of the Gemara says that if I read what's written in a diary and say it over, that's a problem. So you might say, because that's not a shtar. You can say a lot of things, but that would be another nafkamina. One other very short nafkamina I want to point out, and this is what Urchaim deals with. This is what Urchaim deals with in which parrot? This is what Reb Chaim talks about at great length. I can put the whole thing on the sheet. I think it's Perek Hey. Someplace. I think this is what Reb Chaim deals with at great length in the shtickle. One second. No, I apologize. In Perek Yomol. This is what he deals with in Perek Dalet. This is what he deals with in continuation of Perek Dalet. The fascinating question of Drisha V'Chakira, right? Now, what are Drisha V'Chakira? Obviously, Shtaros don't need Drisha V'Chakira. You're not going to tell me a Shtar needs to be interrogated, because you can't actually interrogate a Shtar, and that can't possibly be enough to mean of anything. Obviously, we live without interrogating a Shtar, right? So the question more is that, and after all, you could say Drisha V'Chakira is not absolutely Ma'akev, perhaps, but at the very least, the most basic Drisha V'Chakira. What's the most basic regarding Drisha V'Chakira? What do the Edom have to say? And remember Masechet Sanhedrin? As part of Drisha V'Chakira, what do the Edom have to tell us? Very minimally, even if we don't start checking the stems of the figs, what do they have to tell us?
The
Zman, yeah. Right? Zman and the Makom, right? Makom always goes to Zman. At the very least, they have to tell us the Zman, basic Drisha V'Chakira. So how about Drisha V'Chakira by Shtaros? Does the Shtar have to tell us the Zman? Right? Interesting question. Does the Shtar tell us the Zman? And that is a big question of how to interpret the Gemara in the beginning of the fourth paragraph of Sanhedrin, where they deal with the Shtar. What's the problem? The problem is that we know Shtarei Chov ha-mi'ucharim are are kosher. If it's predated, it's possible. If it's post-dated, it is kosher. Not only that, the Gemara says if you have a chov, a star chov, and it's dated Shabbos, it doesn't say that'll be chutzpah. It just says 21st of Elul Tavshin Ayin Tes. You happen to work out at Shabbos. You assume it's kosher. It's probably just post-dated. You know, obviously it didn't write on Shabbos. You assume it's kosher. Okay, so how about Jerusha and Akira? This is really what we're kind of talking about. How about Zman? Do you need to have a Zman, or do you at least need to have the correct Zman on it, on a Daraisa level? So, without getting into that whole sugya, but this might depend on how, if you viewed it as just Eidush and Achsav, you didn't want to say Shtar was such a big Kiddush. You didn't want, you wanted to fit Shtar into the rules of Eidush, then what would you say? You would say, no, Min HaTorah, Zman. And the right Zman. Kind of if it was Mucharim, it would be Puzzle. Why do we say? We say Sharchov B'Ocher is okay because it's not going to lead to Toref L'Kucho Shalom Kedin. What's the problem? If I really lent you money today and I put last year's date on the Shtar, that's Puzzle because then I could go and claim I had a mortgage from last year and if you sold something 6 months ago, take it from the buyer. But if I put next year's date on the Shtar, it's no problem. I'll claim I have a mortgage from next year. Of course I do. I have a mortgage from today. Of course I have a mortgage from next year. Okay, I'm not going to rip anyone off. What about just the problem that it's not true? It doesn't pass the test of Grisha Hakira. So why doesn't that bother anyone? So the answer might be that Taka does bother. Midaraisa Taka is puzzle. Midaraisa is puzzle. Anytime it's kosher, it's only kosher Midrabanan because Midrabanan, they relax the rules, so Chinol Del's play Lovin, you have to get into the Gittin Sugyas, etc. Mena Torah Tzar Zman, and obviously the right Zman, right? But, says Orkayim, if you understood it, no, Kmisha Nechri to some Vezdin dummy. There's a new Chetvedis. Then you should really look inside if you get a chance. He goes through back and forth, exactly how to be mindful of this. If it's a new chesed, we should never reduce a bezin tummy. Does that mean you can skip the stage of Zman? That means Zman's not important with the Raisa? But that seems to be his main maskana. You would say, no. Min HaTorah, in Dusan, Ki'ilu, Var Nechter of a bezin. And therefore, they don't mean Zman. What do you mean? It's Nechter of a bezin, not because of a real Nechter of a bezin. It's Nefkar of Bezdin because the special Chiddush of Shtar. So you don't need Zman. Only regular ages that need Zman is Nefkar of Bezdin. That needs Chakir of Bezdin needs Zman as part of Chakir of Bezdin. This is a special Chiddush, not a very Chakir of Bezdin. Oh, you'll say if it doesn't have Zman, it's Eidush Yetziyachal Azima. How are they going to be Mas and Eidush in the Shtar? And she's right, you don't need Eidush Yetziyachal Azima. This is a different track of Eidush, right? Misha Nefkara. A Dusan of Bezdin. And therefore, you don't need Zman. It's you already passed Hakir and Bezdin without Hakir and Bezdin. You get it's Ki'ilu, you already passed Hakir and Bezdin, so why do you need Zman? Ki'ilu, you already passed. Yes, Vatsorach Lizman. Give me a second. Rak Mipas Din. Drisha Vachakira. You need Zman as part of Drisha Vachakira, but here, since it's exempt from Drisha Vachakira, you don't need Zman. And what was his big raya? The Gemara asked in Daf Yud Zayin, why are they metakin Zman in a get? What do you mean, why are they metakin Zman in a get? Metakin Zman in a get because Midoraisa means Drisha Vachakira. So he says, this shows that Midoraisa you don't need Zman. And then they give a technical reason why. Midoraisa you don't need Zman. Why? Because Mishnech reaches and Bezdin, it's a new kind of Eidos. If you want to, you could deny that and say what they really meant is once in Sanhedrin they took away Drisha V'Chakira for any case that was a social need, like Egon, why did they put it back? Obviously, that's a little more dark. Okay, now let's get to what I really want to discuss today, mostly, which is the whole. Yeah?
So, for kind of when we say Commission Ephraim doesn't base, so we don't mean that literally, we just mean that it's a stronger.
We mean that, what we mean is this, when Eidos Nechra of Bezdin becomes a hefta of finalized, accepted Eidos, without a process of, like, saying it over and being accepted. I mean, it's automatically becomes a hefta of Eidos without a process of accepting it. So it doesn't need Zman, which is part of the process of accepting it. And if you'll then say, which I'm not getting to now, say, I have an interesting thought. Is Zman only a part of the process of accepting it, or is Zman part of the basic content of the Eidos, and it still needs content? Okay, Rav Chaim talks about that, and obviously ends up saying that you can have content without Zman. Now, Here's the interesting question. The interesting question is, what does a shtar testify about? Right? Normally, I hope this is obvious to all of us, what are Edom allowed to testify about? Only
things that they saw.
Things that they actually saw with their own eyes, right? I'd like to hope that's obvious to all of us. How about a shtar? What did Edom and the shtar testify about? That's a fascinating question. What do they testify about? Do they only testify about that which they saw with their own eyes? Or do they testify about more than they saw with their own eyes? Right? So let us just ask the following question. How about what is the content of the Edom? By the way, what did the Edom actually see with their own eyes? What did the Edom actually see with their own eyes? What did they actually see? Let's take for example, a shtar chov. Right? Let's take a shtar chov, for example, which is a pure shtar raya, right? Not kone anything. The guy with the money went for that. The shtar. So in a shtar chov, what did they see? Abe says they saw the halva. I don't know why Abe thinks he could argue on a Mishnah in Bava Basra. But the Mishnah in Bava Basra says, Kosvin shtar lelove, afa pisha ein mal ve'imo. That the Edom are allowed to write a shtar, kosvin there means kosvin, to the love, even if the malva's not there. Meaning, I can write a shtar, Yehuda says, I'm going to borrow 100,000 shekel from Shua. I can write a shtar that says, you know, Yehuda owes Shua 100,000 shekel, even if Shua's not there. Obviously, I can't do the other shtar if only Shua requests me to write a shtar, so it owes 100,000 shekel, that's called Eid Sheker. But, and what do I do? We can sign the shtar that says Yehuda owes Shua 100,000 shekel, and he doesn't owe him 100,000 shekel. We give the shtar to Yehuda, and what happens? He goes, he hands him the 100,000 shekel, he hands him the shtar. After all, how does this whole shtar thing work? So you have to bring the Edom with you wherever you go? No. Now, the truth is, I know the Gemara and Bava Basra will ask all kinds of technical questions. What if this happens? What if that happens? But including the Daraisa, this is perfectly valid. Kosen shtar lelove, hafa pisha imal ve'imo. And that makes perfect sense. We give him the shtar, and what does he do with it? If he doesn't end up getting the loan, he rips the shtar off, throws in the garbage, and no harm done. If he does end up getting the loan, it's very convenient. He doesn't have to bring Edom wherever he goes. He just switches. Here, I'll trade you a piece of paper for the money. And that way, it's a valid test. There's no chash in the line here, right? As long as he's holding on to it. As long as he doesn't owe the money, no one's going to ask him for the money. So he'll just rip up the shtar. Once he actually gives the shtar to Shua, then he really does owe the money. Maybe it'll fall out of Yehuda's pocket and Shua will find the street and pick it up. Okay, we're not chosesh for that. That's kosen shtar lelova afalpi she'im mal ve'imo. Meaning, what did the Edom really see? They really only saw the request to write the shtar. They didn't even see what's written on the shtar. It also says kosen gedle eshalpi she'ishno imo. What did the Lashon HaGet say? The Lashon HaGet says that Reuven divorced his wife Rachel. Right? That's what it says. Reuven, or Yaakov. Yaakov divorced Rachel. That's what it says. The Edom never saw Yaakov divorce Rachel. They have no idea. If you would go to the Edom afterwards and say, Taka, can you tell me, did Yaakov divorce Rachel or not? What would they tell you? We know he was considering divorcing Rachel because he asked us to write and sign a get for him. So he clearly had a strong havamina. He clearly had a possibility of divorcing Rachel. Whether he really did or not. How are we supposed to know? Then we gave him the get and he went on. You want to know if he divorced Rachel or not? I don't know. Well, who's holding the get? If he's holding the get, then he didn't divorce Rachel. If Rachel's holding that get, then he did. I mean, the Edom, they could coincidentally see the transaction, but they don't see the transaction. As a matter of fact, the Edom have to sign on the get before the Gerushin happens. They don't sign afterwards. The Edom dafka sign before the Gerushin happens. They could stick around and see the Gerushin, but that has nothing to do with their Edos. They sign before they sign.
So that is the Gerushin.
The Eidah Chasimah is. The Gerushin is through handing over the thing. But they don't know if it happened or not. Even if Eidah Chasimah Karsi, that's only Vinasa of the other if there's an Asina. Eidah Chasimah don't do anything without an Asina, right? No one thinks the woman's divorced if she doesn't receive her get, right? As it says in the Chumash, V'chasav la sefer krisos v'nasa miyada. Even if V'chasav la means he writes a sign and gets a document signed.
Even though nobody sees it.
even though nobody sees it. Even though nobody sees it, according to our mayor, okay, that will have to accept according to the rain of time.
Pick it up.
No, you have to have a vice citizen.
But how do we know that?
Ah, good question. I mean, if the woman's holding a get, how do we know she's divorced? Maybe it fell out of the husband's pocket and she picked it up. And the answer is we're not close for that. I'll do better soon. Anyway, it's fascinating that the Edom actually don't see what they say in the Shtar. They don't see what they say in the Shtar. It says in the Shtar, remember, it doesn't say in the Shtar, we know Yaakov planned to divorce Rachel. We know Yaakov told us he was thinking of divorcing Rachel. It says in the Shtar, Yaakov divorced Rachel. Right? It says in the Shtar that Yaakov said to Rachel, you are Muteris L'chol Adam, and you're now allowed to remarry. I'm not true. Yaakov was thinking about it. He just wanted to have his options. So he kept the Shtar in his pocket. For all we know, I don't know, maybe he just wanted to scare her. Who knows? Who knows what happened? You know, she wasn't cooking the cholent well, and he says, look what I have in my pocket. You know, you have to improve here. And maybe it worked. So, I guess he was a big cholent man. Anyway, so it's interesting. They don't actually see the transaction. Forget about anything else. They don't actually see the... Give me a second. They don't actually see the transaction. So, how does this work, you know, that they write something that they didn't actually see? Okay, that's a fascinating question. So, what are they testifying about? Do we say, basically, no, if we look at his regular Eidos, then they have to testify about a very, very specific fact that they saw, right? Then you would say only the facts they saw. If you say that this is a special Hefzah Shalidus, then we understand they're not really talking about the facts they saw. That, or you could very well say, and this is the Rav's, Rav Chaim doesn't talk about this in the Chibur. The Rav Masor from Rav Chaim is that this is a big part of the uniqueness of Shtar. When the Rav said, what did I mention once? That he turned to the guy next to him in a chasen and said, my grandfather cracked the atom of the Shtar, which is the way you talked in those days of inventing the atom bomb. This is what he meant. What he meant is that, no, part of the whole Chiddush of Shtar, and the main Chiddush of Shtar, is not, that it gets out of the regular rules of Eidos. The main Chiddush of the Shtar is that it's not a testimony on facts people saw. That would be regular Eidos Bechsav with some asterisks, you know, with some bending and flexible rules. No, it's a totally different ballgame, which of course should only be done midas haschayim. What right the two strangers in the street have to make this book? It's not a heftza of, it's not regular Haggadus Eidos on facts. It's a heftz of Eidos on a certain result. It's a heftz of Eidos. Okay, the Rav didn't maybe say this. It's a heftz of Eidos that testifies to more than they saw, that testifies to whatever is the point of this shtar. The point of this shtar is that Rachel was divorced from Yaakov. It testifies that Rachel was divorced from Yaakov. The Eidim sign don't know if it's true. If we ask them, they would say, we taka don't know. We can only tell you what we know. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter whether they know it's true or not. They're not testifying as people. The Shtar is testifying as a Chetz Shal Eidos. Okay, you could still quote these people. I don't mean to say it's a testimony without people. But they're not testifying as regular people testifying what they saw. They are attaching their names to be the Chetz Shal Eidos, which is an open-ended Eidos. And then it creates an open-ended an open-ended Eidos, which again, you're going to say, why am I inventing these fantastic ideas? This is actually common sense. I don't understand it. If you're holding a check made out to bearer or cash, whatever it may be, how do we know that the person really owes you this money, not someone else? I'm holding it. That's the point. The reason he made the check blank or made it out to cash is because he wanted it to be flexible and mean that he should owe whoever is holding this. Meaning, this is the thing that in all societies, people are interested in having. It's not like some Xerxes custom that Chaim made up for no reason whatsoever. It's very commonsensical. Everyone, every society needs some sort of proof that can be flexible depending on their circumstances. Because after all, And I think if you ask, why the Torah invent a chetz shel shtar, Rav Chaim wouldn't care about the answer to that question. Part of Rav Chaim Bahus is that if you ask him, and why would the Torah invent such a concept, he would say, that's not a Jewish question to ask. Now, that's a philosophy question to ask, because that's the halos, right? The famous story in Halachic Ben, right? He found two Chabad Hasidim arguing whether Hashem created the world because of Chachmaso or because of Chasto. And he said, what a ridiculous machlokas. I know Hashem created the world because Ritzono, it was his Ritzono to create the world. Why is it Chetzal Star? Ritzono to have us. Okay, but we're not, you know, okay, Moshe Lifstein has a nice article about this. You know, we're not such pure briskers. Why did the Torah invent such a Chetzal Star? I think the main, you might say, so it's good to have the Torah saw society needed portable eidos. But I think it's more than that. Society needs flexible eidos. You need a way for a woman to prove she's divorced. But that needs to be flexible. It needs to be able to prove the woman's divorce if she's holding it, but not if the husband's holding it, because he has to then decide whether to divorce her. You need a shtar to prove that I owe Charlie a million shekel, but you need a shtar that if he's holding it, proves I owe him a million shekel. If I'm holding it, it doesn't prove anything, because we need to allow room for transactions for people to go places and not bring their aid wherever they go and say, I'm not giving you the shtar until you lend me the money. You lend me the money, I'll give you the shtar. After all, we have to decide, you have to decide at the last minute whether you give me the loan or not. And then I need to have the eidos ready right then. Okay, so you need to have a flexible eidos that by handing it over from me to you is now made something that didn't used to be made. And so too for selling a sada, etc. I want to prove that you want to buy my field. You want proof that I sold you my field. So if we require eidos to either absolutely say it's your field or absolutely say it's my field, then we can't have room for negotiations, and we sit down, we negotiate for 2 days, finally we come to a meeting of the minds, decide to sell the field, and now we want to just have the proof there. We don't always have aid in there all the time. So the Torah, in order to allow commerce and chaluyos to happen, in order to allow life to go on, said, there's a flexible heft of aidos. Obviously, aid on their own can't decide to do this. I shouldn't say obvious, you know, we're not sure. Maybe the Rif thought they could do this on their own. Maybe one day Tosfos thought. And the Mishnah said, no, only Nasimus Chayiv, only the person who's giving something up has the right to create this Cheftishal Eidos against him. After all, it's part of his Bailus on his money. He could give away his money, he could burn his money, he could throw it into the ocean, he could create a Cheftishal Eidos against his money. It's only the person that has the right to do this. And for the Rambam, Midoraisa, he only has the right to do this as part of actually giving up his money, not just Stam on the side. That's only Midrabanan. But it's an open-ended eidos, and that makes a lot of sense. And I would even go so far as to say, this isn't Lashon HaRav, it's more of an eidos on a result than an eidos on facts. Stam eidos embeds enough regular eidos, whether b'chsav, according to Rebbeinu Tam, or Baal Peh, they even tell you the facts, and Bezdin figures out the results. Right? Eidim aren't there to tell Bezdin what to do. They're there to tell you the facts. And then what do we call the idea of Bezdin figuring out the results? Oh, that's part of the process. Kabbalah, Idei Bezdin, Drishim, Chakira, etc. Here's Commission Nefri, just in Bezdin dummy. Meaning it's already a result. The Bezdin, they don't care about the facts. The main point of the Aegis is not what they saw happen, what they didn't. The main point of the Aegis is that they're testifying that the Mishayev created this Cheftishal Aegis, which owes a million shekel. How it owes a million shekel, when it owes a million shekel, that's not important. What's important is that there's a result of owing a million shekel. And let me just put this down. What determines the content of the eidos? This is the main point of the road. What, give me a second, what determines the content of the eidos of a shtar? The tfisas ashtar. The tfisas bala shtar. Holding the shtar makes it made. That's how the Rav understood it. Which again, it's not this xeris a cost of weird thing. I think that's common sense. If I were inventing a Western country, I'd probably make the same rule. The tfisas bala shtar makes it made. Why, if I'm holding the get, is my wife, does it not testify my wife is divorced? If she's holding the get, it testifies she's divorced. Ah, because when she holds the get, it means something different than when I hold the get. And that's the whole open-ended flexibility of the get. Obviously, it doesn't mean it's made whatever anyone says. That's ridiculous. It's made whatever the tfisas hashtar implies that it's made. And that's really why you need a cheftishal shtar. Something that through tfisa can create eidos. So let's just ask a few nafkaminas here. Number one, how about the etzem hachalos? Right? Here, it's very micha. They didn't see the etzem hachalos, but that's the whole point of the shtar. You made on the etzem hachalos. Taka, it's not made until you hand it over to the other guy. It's tfisa spala shtar. But once you hand it to the other guy, now it's made. Al Yudei Pisas. Bala Shtar. By Bala Shtar, I mean not the Messiah, but the Marviach, right? Whatever the opposite of Messiah, the guy who wins, who gains. Meir Shehachalos Chala. If you're going to say it's regular Eidos, then it's going to be a little nitchat. How can they write Yaakov divorced Rachel if they, how can they write something that they don't know? It's going to have to be a little nitchat, and that's what all the Achronim start talking about it, and that's what, you know, Rav Chanan says, maybe you got to say one of two things. Either they're really made, it's made rak al siva midas, I don't want to put midas in the midas bailim, right? Meaning, maybe taka, their lashon is lav davka. They're not really made Yaakov divorce his wife. They're really made that Yaakov wrote a get. He didn't write it. Yaakov ordered a get to be written. How do we know he divorced his wife? It's an umdana that if Yaakov ordered the get to be written and his wife's holding it, it's an umdana that she was divorced, right? And they have to say the lashon is lav davka. We all know when they write this, the lashon is lav. What they really mean, rather, is they're made that Yaakov said he was going to do what it says here. They're made it that Bidnar said he was going to owe Charlie, a million shekel, etc. They're really just made on the original intention of the Baal. We know the chalos happened through an umdana. Give me a second. And this is really what Rochana and the Stipler, which I'm sure no one had time to see, clears about. He takes the other side. It's only made on Ksiva Midas Bailim. And the Lashon Hashtar is Lavdavka, which again, we don't like Lashon Midas to be Lavdavka. But if we have to, we can live with it. Or you could say another solution, I'll let the odd talk. Or you could say, and this is a big chiddush, but this is what the Stipler ends up saying. They're made on something they didn't see. You're allowed to be made on something you didn't see if you're sure that it's true. Therefore, they're made, there was a divorce. How are they sure that it's true? Because they know no one's going to take the get seriously unless Rachel's holding it. And if Rachel's holding it, they're confident she was divorced. Or she could have broken into Yaakov's desk and stolen it. Okay, it's still a big chiddush. You could made it on something you didn't see. But if you want to take a davka, they actually made she's divorced. They're made on something that didn't happen yet because they're sure that either the get will be ripped up or that it'll happen. Okay, that's a big chiddush. I would have said on my own. Or you could say there that a big chiddush mutter lehaid al davar shelo ira adayin im. Okay, that's a big finish. Meaning they're sure that Yaakov will rip up their testimony if he doesn't divorce Rachel, so they're sure that by the time anyone sees their testimony, Rachel will be divorced. That's a big finish. The Stifler Taka says this right here. I prefer to say, and this is Elchanan's Chak here in the part of Xerox, you know, isn't that they're made on the Mesira or that they're made on the Ksiva Midas Bailim? I prefer to say, if you're going to look at a regular Eidim, they're made on Ksiva Midas Bailim. How do we know the Chalos happened? Through an Umdana. Why did they say they saw the Chalos happen? It's Lav Davka. What they mean to say is, we saw the Bailim plan the Chalos to happen. Okay, but you understand how it's much more Nicha according to the Chiddush side.
But anytime, if you haven't invested in witnesses come, you know, straight witnesses, not their mind, straight witnesses, they're always coming totally sure of what they say. The Chakira goes after them, and maybe they're not so sure. But a regular aid comes in, and he's always positive of what he's going to say, else he wouldn't come to Bezdin. So this would say that you don't have to interrogate aid.
That's a big hit. You're right, it's a big hit. I'm also not comfortable with it. Maybe I'm misquoting, maybe I made it up.
This would be the Nachmino of the general minhag to sign the Suva before the Chuppah, or to sign the Suva after the Kiddushin happened.
Perhaps. I think technically that actually works.
Because it sort of talks to the Lashon Ksuva because it's already happened already.
Correct. Correct. You could tie it into that. That could be for other technical reasons.
I mean, that chief of the stack, I still have to see.
I won't tell anyone.
It's not different than an Alam or of a time is boring in Piafiri. It's more you.
But that's tiny, that's not Aegis. It's still a big step.
I said, but the one relevant was that Ashtar, even on the other side of the Mishba, mm-hmm. I mean, Ashtar Kenyan is kosher Miksav Yodo without it. Right? And it's Ashtar Kenyan.
Maybe.
Well, the Rambam held that way.
Okay.
So it's a star.
Yes, but
as a star, it just doesn't is high and below.
Okay, so let me cut. You're making an assumption it's a star, that it's a star raya. You could say it's only star kinyan and not a star raya, and I'll come back to that in a moment.
It's not really a tiyofta, but it's challenging this conception of the rav. So that's the case. We shouldn't really care so much about the substance of the get. And yet the Gemara devotes a lot of time to, do we use that formulation, or is that krisis, is that not? But if the guy showed up with a tzadmi and said Mary had a little lamb, as long as that was the formulation that creates a tool, then the tfisa balashtar would tell us.
No. If we care very much about the formulation of the get, you mean krisis being of a leka, it has to be materis for a while, other it can't say materis to some people, it can't say materis for a while, etc. That's the result. Yet the result has to be a clear result. The star, all I said is that it's open-ended in terms of how you choose the result, but the result has to be there. And if you mean all the dikdukim,
they're not testifying about the content even. It's just the star itself is...
No, they're not testifying about what they saw. They are testifying about the desired result of the star. They're creating a chefter shel edus that achieves a certain result. How it achieves the result, they don't see. They just know, let's say the result is $1 million. They're asking a chefter shel edus of a loan of $1 million. Obviously, they have to be a dayik. Is it $1 million? Is it $900,000? Is it $1 million with a shiva? Is it without a shiva? Is it, they have to be dayik the result. The result is part of the chefter shel edus that has nothing to do with the story. They don't have to be dayik the story. No one said they have to be dayik the story of what they saw, just the result of what they write. Okay.
What tokef does the tarikh have in
So what's fascinating is, according to this derech, the tarikh is not the same tokef as the normal tarikh of it's making sure the story is true. No, Reb Chaim says it's a real star, you don't need Jewish Akira. What's the tokef of the tarikh? The tokef of the tarikh is part of the result. From when do I owe you the money? That's very important. When's the mortgage hal? Right? From when is she divorced? When is she allowed to marry someone else? When is she not? The date is not part of the process. The date is part of the result. And for example, going back to Ksuba, okay, this was Shakta Mataria for an upcoming kasana. But when it comes to Ksuba, I'm being a sorry confusion tonight. I shouldn't say this on tape, then the Rabbanut's gonna. Okay, forget about it. The Rabbanut has very strict rules, which you sign if they're true or not. But someone once told me that when they're in Sadiq Kedushin, they don't care at all if they write the Ksuba, if they write the Ksuba during Bein HaShmashos, and then and they don't know what date to write, just write the date of that night. Why? By the time you need the Ksuba to be, you need the Ksuba to be filed before Yichud, because it's usher to have Yichud or Tashmish without a Ksuba. By the time you get to the Yichud room, it'll be fine. You might be writing your own date on the Ksuba. What if Bein HaShmashos is Yom? What if it's Takiyom? Let's say it's a minute before Shkia. And what would I do? What would someone do if it was a minute before Shkia? They would write a minute before Shkia today, 23. They would write 24 Elul. It's a lie. This Ksuba was not actually in 24. No, we're not talking about when we witness the guy pick up a handkerchief or whatever. We're talking about what chalos we want to accomplish. We want to accomplish chalos of owing the money from the 24th. Why is that we want to accomplish? Because he needs to owe the money before Yichud, and it'll be 24th before Yichud. You give a long speech. Whatever the case may be, that's clear. That's what we start chalos cards. As a matter of fact, look, Ora, even the Chathila, I can get together with you and say, I'm lending you money today, but I don't want the Sheba to be chal till Cheshvan. So we'll lend the money today, but write the date of the 16th of Cheshvan. That's fine. That's just a matter of what chalos we want to happen. Just like $1 million is a different chalos from $900,000. A shibud on one day is different colors from a shibud on another day. Okay, I'm not going to be able to finish too many more questions. Okay.
Because they are testifying on past events also, though. They're testifying on Ksiva Lashma,
no, they're testifying, they're clearly testifying that the Mishayah, or Bible, whatever you call them, want to create the Chefter Shel Edus, right? They're testifying that this fellow ordered them to create a Chefter Shel Edus. That's clearly they're testifying. But the testimony of the chetzal edus they're creating, not about the results. That's the basic insight of the rub, even though it's in my words. Now,
I don't understand why. I mean, I know the rub went like this, so I'm speaking. But why do we insist? Why do we insist that it's a chetzal edus? Why can't it just be a chetzal das on the side? That's a chetzal edus. Like, well, that's found in Khmer ages. It's not there. It's Khmer.
Okay. I think what Joel's suggesting is an interesting idea. The reason why I think it's ages is because the Torah, the Gemara calls it ages all over the place. I think what you might be suggesting, or at least what you're close to suggesting, is maybe you could just say they're testifying that he wanted to write this, and from then on it's all his Hodas Baldin and not really ages. That would be another interesting angle, or perhaps something parallel. I'm not disallowing that. The Gemara usually relates to it as Adim, but we won't put it on the board. I'm not disallowing the possibility you could say maybe it's not Ados, maybe it's really Hodas Baldin and not Ados. Yesh Laudin, and as a matter of fact, maybe I'll have a chance to come back to that in Mirza Shaman Daf Dalet, if we ever get to Daf Dalet.
Makes a very clear distinction between Hodas Baldin.
Yes, yes, and a Kanaan. Okay, now let me just put a few things on the board because I do want to finish this thing today because, you know, at a certain point, you know, they start stoning you if you discuss the same board, you know, for like each year in a row. So let's just ask something very, very simple. So what about, for example, what about the following case? What about E. P. Ra'on? The fact that it wasn't repaid. After all, if you're holding an IOU, that doesn't only prove that you borrowed money from me, it also proves you haven't paid back. What's the phrase that in Gemara Lashon? Shtar chaviyani my boy. Shtar's in my hand. What do you want from me? Right? I mean, it makes a lot of sense, right? I mean, again, just common sense, right? I write you an IOU. What happens? When you pay back, you ask for the IOU in return. And if I say, oh, I left the IOU at home, you say, I'm not paying back. I get the IOU back. But if it's home, you're going to collect twice. Right? So clearly, by all common sense, whether I gave back or still holding onto the shtarchov proves whether you repaid or not. The question is, what's the nature of that proof? Right? Clearly, there's a concept called shtarchov yadi my body. And again, really, you need a whole 2 weeks to go through every single shtarchov yadi my body. But just the chlal in general, there's a famous Ravid who argues on a Rambam. At the certain Rashba, I mean, origin of the Rambam says the following case, that if I have a shtar be'ed echad, very interesting, remember we saw a whole question of whether ed echad really counts as a shtar or not, the Rukhayim, so Tosos is Masuf, has 2 days about that, the Rambam here sounds like ed echad does count as a shtar, I think I mentioned at the time, in Toim Benitam. Ed echad says you owe me money. Now it's only ed echad, you could swear, and win, you could swear the ed echad's lying, but instead you say, I admit I owe you money, but I paid back. So I win. Call that like Nasta Barabba, Mitoshin Yochel Shavashal. Since you're not denying the Eid Echad, you're just making another unacceptable claim that you paid back. Say, when didn't you pay back? I'm still holding on to the Shtar. So you lose. So the Rashba and Ashut attacks the Rambam and says, what do you mean? That's not a valid Eid Eid Echad. Eid Eid Echad is only Kalmachim Shnei Mechayim Nosomamon Echad Mechayvo Shua. If it's an Eidos that worked, that would say you're chayav. If it was two edim, one aid makes you chayav a shvua. And then if you don't swear, you have to pay. Says the Rashi in the Shul, says, this eid echad, he doesn't prove you owe me the money. He doesn't testify that you didn't pay back. He only testifies that you borrowed. He has no idea if you paid back or not. And therefore, there's no chayav shvua in the first place. Says the Rashi, the shtar doesn't testify that you didn't pay back. The aid is not telling us whether you owe the money or not. The aid is telling us you borrowed. Whether or not you pay back is not his business. It's a chazakah that you didn't pay back. Why? If you had paid back, you would have ripped up the shtar. So says the Shut Rashba. Says the Shut Rashba that in Eido Shalom Para, rather, it's a chazakah Shalom Para. There's no edus that you wouldn't pay back. There's a chazaka you didn't pay back. What about the... what does the Rambam say? So the Rambam... Okay, here's where it gets tricky. Because I'm really getting into things that I don't want to get into. The Rambam... And therefore the Rashba says that the edach is not machayiv you. Because he didn't testify that you owe the money. He just testified you borrowed. He didn't testify you didn't pay back. So what does the Rambam think when the edach is machayiv you? You could say, no. Whenever an Eidechad says a fact that together with the Chazakah is Mechayiv you, then that's enough. And here, the fact he said with the Chazakah is enough to be Mechayiv you. But the way the Rav understood the Rambam, that's what Rav Chanan also sounds like in his discussion of this, the way the Rav understood the Rambam is that no, the Rambam holds that the aid testifies you didn't pay back. That's the Rav says in the Yard Sashir, Osios Nikdos from Sira. That's where the Rambam is directly disagreeing with the Rashba. He's not denying the premise of the Rashba. He's accepting the premise of the Rashba. The Rashba says, only if the aid testifies the whole thing are you chayef. The Rambam says, the aid does testify the whole thing. The aid testifies you borrowed and you didn't pay back. Why? The shtar testifies you didn't pay back. The aid didn't see, the aid and the shtar didn't see whether you paid back. Well, he also didn't see whether you borrowed and testifies that. So the point is, Mela, once he's testifying whatever is implied by the tfisa, just like the tfisa implied you borrowed, the tfisa also implied you didn't pay back. If you're going to restrict him to what he saw, he didn't see anything. Right? Once you're going to say, no, it's not what he saw, it's what the tfisa shtar implies. It's a cheft of eidos that depends on who's holding it, then it proves you didn't pay back, just as much as it proves you borrowed. Could it be that you did pay back and you were an idiot and didn't ask for to rip up the shtar? Yes, and it could also be that you never borrowed and he was an idiot and just gave you this piece of paper to look at. Now you said he owes you money, but we're not close to those things. Then there would be no such thing as a shtar. So therefore says the Rub Bidas Haramba, no. The shtar is meyed shalom nifra, because that's the chiddush of shtar, and Agav, the Rav, doesn't discuss the Raivin. The Raivin has a third shita, and then I'll let Isaac talk. The Rashba says, there's no chiv in the first place. The aid didn't give you a whole story. The Raivin says, you're chayiv, you have to pay. And the Rav says, the aid did give you a whole story. Well, you could say, because the aid doesn't have to give you the whole story. The Raivin says, just swear against the aid. Swear that you pay back. I think the Raivin also sounds like the Rav. What do you just swear against the aid? He said, just swear lahachish to say that you paid back. How is it machish the aid to swear you paid back? Obviously, the aid is testifying that you didn't pay back, and that works very well for the Rav.
Right, yes, yeah, so I'm just wondering on that very point, right? For the Rambam, why is it not considered lahachish the aid when you say
correct? Correct, okay. So then you'd have to say that for the Rambam, you have to say a lot of fancy things, right? You want to go into, right? Somehow you have to say that for Eid Echad and the Rambam, for is the same question. Well, no. That the Ram hachoshes ha'eid means that you have to deny his reliability, not contradict his testimony. You have to undermine his reliability. Okay, but that's more than I want to go into now. Now I'll just point out, Rav Chanan here brings a whole deal. He's not coming from the same angle as the Rav, I admit, but he brings a whole deal. What is shtar chum yadim ayboi? Is it chazaka or is it part of the shtar? I'm pretty sure he doesn't mean what the Rav means by part of the shtar. He means something else that I haven't succeeded in understanding from him. But nonetheless, he deals with this hakira. Shtar chum yadim my boy, part of the shtar? Although I don't think he means the Rav's way. He means in some way that I'm not sure what he means. Or is it a chazaka? And he brings a lot of interesting nafkaminas. He says, for example, what if there's a shtar and the borrower doesn't know that there's a shtar? So he says, well, if it was a chazaka, then there's no chazaka. He didn't know he should rip up the shtar, so he can say parati. But if it's in the shtar, then it doesn't matter. He just said he wasn't poreya. Or he wants to say, what if everyone thought there was a shtar and it turned out to be puzzle? If it's a chazaka, he should still have to pay. After all, since you thought it was a kosher shtar, if you paid, you would have ripped up the shtar. But if it didn't, he does the shtar. There's no he does the shtar. So it is. He does bring up all these tantalizing questions as to how to view shtar chaviyadi, my boy. I also put the Ravid here. The Ravid says shvua shepara nechshav lehachoshas ha'id. Which again to me sounds like the Rav. Okay, let me just point out the Rav's crazy raya is from Rashi and Sanhedrin. The Gemara in Sanhedrin is a fascinating discussion. A certain woman was holding a shtar that was not hers. She was holding a shtar that, Reuven owed Shimon a gazillion shekel, and some woman happened to be holding the shtar, and she said, I know he paid. Why didn't he rip it up? I don't know, but I know he paid. So, in the end, it's going to be, Gemara's must be for a different reason, but Rav Nachman believed her, and Rav says, why? Because you hold like Rebbe, the Osios Nikdos b'Mesira? Here there was tremendous chiddush. What is Osios Nikdos b'Mesira? There's a machlokas, Rebbe and Chachamim. How do you sell a shtar chov? How do you transfer debt? Can I just hand it over to you, Mesira? Or do I need ksiva Mesira? I need to hand it over and endorse it. Right? Nowadays, if you have a check, it's not enough to hand it over. You have to endorse it, right? Okay, but that's machlokas. It says, do you hold handing over a shtar is good enough? And then I understand why she'd be believed. What does that do with anything? She's not claiming she owns it. She's claiming that Reuven paid Shimon, having nothing to do with herself at all. Why does the fact that if Osios makes it to the Mesira make her believe? So the Yadarmas says Migo. If Osios makes it to the Mesira, she could say, I bought the debt and I forgave it. So since Migo, she could have said, I acquired the debt and forgave it, because if she's holding it was Nipser to her, then she could also say it was paid, because it's the same effect. Rashi says something tantalizing there. Rashi says something along the lines of, she acquired it. It's like hers. And then lower for ruin. She's allowed to say that it is paid. She acquired it and is allowed to say that it's paid. What does Rashi mean by that? He doesn't say Migo, she could say I bought it. She somehow got the right to say it's paid. What exactly does that mean? So the Rav understood. For Rashi, something very deep. He says, what does it mean, Osios Nikos Masira? What's the machlokas there? It's a fascinating question. Let's say I have a shtar that says, Reuven owes Shimon 10,000 shekel, and now I'm holding that shtar. On the one hand, you could say, based on Rechaim Zerech. On the one hand, you could say, well, since I'm holding the shtar, why would I be holding the shtar? If I'm holding the shtar, it must be that I acquired it. So now Reuven owes me 10,000 shekel because I bought the debt. You know, there's a market where people buy and sell debt. Right? So now Reuven owes me because my tfisa proves that the shtar is now made that I bought it. I'm the Baal Shtar. What's the other dea? Chachamim say, no, only the people written in the shtar are bechlal this business. This kind of shtar is only people written in the shtar, Reuven and Shimon. Third parties are not bechlal if your name's not in the shtar. Then it's not made anything about you. Then why are you holding it? We have no idea. You know, if they do ksiva mesira, put your name in the shtar, that's different. So maybe the machlokas is whether this idea of a tfisas bal shtar applies. Who is in this asik of shtar? Only the people's names are in it, or whoever's holding on to it. That's machlokas. Oh, so this makes from a seer. What's Rava saying from Nachman? Ah, you want to know if this woman is Neman? Well, hold on a second. What's this woman saying? This woman, she's not saying she owns it. She's saying, I'm holding on to the shtar. Why is she holding on to the shtar? Why is she holding on to the shtar? She's holding on to the shtar because, what does she claim? I'm holding on to, why would a third party be holding on to a shtar? We're not talking about a Hashav Zaveda. Think about it. You owe me $100,000. Why would we give the shtar to Liad to hold? Maybe the answer is because we're going to have all kinds of business. We don't trust each other that when you pay me, I'll really give you the shtar back. So we say we both trust Liad. You hold the shtar. We're giving you the shtar because we don't trust each other and one day we're going to pay back and the guy's going to say the shtar's not there or he's going to give the shtar and say I'll pay back later and might end up ripping each other off. You'll see if we pay back or not and you'll tell us we gave you the shtar to be mom and you as to whether it's paid back or not. So basically, she's claiming my tfisa of the shtar proves that I'm the arbiter of whether it was paid, not the two of them. Just like usually if I'm tofis, it wasn't paid. If you're tofis, it was paid. You're tofis because you're keeping track of whether it was paid or not. Does that work? Can you make the tfisa of a third party whose name is not there part of the aegis of the shtar? That's the machlokes of aegis, the Osios Nikos ben Masira or not. If Osios Nikos ben Masira, just like if he's holding and claims he bought it, it's made that he bought it. If he's holding it and claims he's the shlish nemon, he's the arbiter, then he's the arbiter. And if Osios ain't nikdos b'mesira, then the fact that he's holding it is meaningless. He's not a party to this kiddush of the shtar. So the way the Rav reads the sugya is that Osios nikdos b'mesira is extending the kiddush of the shtar to a third party, both if the third party claims to be an owner, or if the third party claims to be an appointed arbiter. And that's different from the Yavar Mazmigo, that's how he reads into Rashi, that's what it's about Kinyan, meaning becoming the Baal Shtar. So I'll just point out, while Moshe talks.
I could be interested in understanding it, but it sounds that it's just speculative about what the reason would be. Is it based off speculation? Is it the reason why she could have a Shtar is that Shtar for multiple reasons. That's just one possible reason why she could have a Shtar.
No, but that was a typical thing to do in time of the Gemara. You see stories like that.
I'm saying she also has a shtar because
what?
Because if it's a shtar ho, then maybe the logo was Machmenter, and now she has...
Oh, and Echanami, and if she says it was Machmenter, she did that, and then it also was Nikos B'Masira, that's the point. It might depend on what she says, so you're right, this is digital Kiddush. Depending on what I say can affect how it's made if I'm a third party. Okay, right, there's many kishir. Basically, here we'd say like the Yad Rama, it's just amigo, nothing fancy. Or the Rav said, Al Pi Rashi Bir, he says, no, the machlokes ha'im osios niknos. You're right, Yeshua, you're absolutely right. It isn't the Shalchidish. The machlokes ha'im tfisas guf shlishi she lo mofia b'ksav chashiv kitfisas bal hashtar olo. Okay, and you're right. Okay, let me just point out one last interesting thing, which is really against the subjects we'll come back to later. How about, and here I'm going a little, how about things that are not necessarily so obvious? I mean, all these things are like very obvious, the point of the tefisa of the Baal Shtar. Is the Shtar also made to things that are not obvious from the tefisa, but are part of the result of the Shtar? So, for example, Tosfos says, and this we're going to have to get into it, someone asked about Lishma, right? Is the Shtar made? Actually, you know, before we get to that, I apologize. Once we're on third parties, Liad pointed out to me, I didn't put it in the course, the Rambam, Perites Halacha, was it Lamed Beis, Liad?
Lamed Beis.
Perites Lamed Beis. The Rambam, you could read him a little bit Lav Davka, but, you know, it's always a hachila to read the Rambam Davka. The Rambam mentioned twice in Hilchos Gerushin, Kamisha Nefri does the best in Tavi. One is similar to the context we started with, that you're not choshes from a Zoyef. The other is, if the Baal gives a get to the Shliach and says, give it to my wife. Nothing to do with chutzlarts. So, if there's no Edom sign on the shtar, and the shliach gives it to his wife, we can't assume she's megareshes. How do we know this, the get is really from the Baal and not just some, the shliach wrote it himself? But what if they're Edom signed on the shtar, and the shliach comes with a get with signatures and hands it to the wife? We're sure the husband appointed him a shliach. We're sure he's a real shliach. How do we know the husband appointed him a shliach? We're sure he's a shliach. Okay. Ad Khan, I wouldn't have made a big deal, says the Rambam. She'ena shliach nemen lahater ha'erva, elav nek sav ha'edim shchosol get. The only reason the shliach nemen says he's a shliach, and he's appointed by the Baal, is because of the ksav of the edim. She'en kemi shenechri do some of this in ad she'esham ma'arek, which are kemoshin bi shenechri do son be'ezdin. So this is interesting. As opposed to if there are no edim signed on the get, then she's not megareshes. Somehow, the Rambam seems to maybe be concerned here also about how do we know this guy was appointed a shliach? The answer is, we should have to do some investing. Now, it's not 100% clear. You could read the Rambam as just saying, how do we know it's not forged? In which case, he's not saying it's finished. Nefri is investing, tell me. But if you want to read the Rambam, like, why is he bringing this up in the context of shliach? You could say, how do we know he appointed, Taka, how do we know he appointed the guy shliach lo halacha? The answer is, well, this guy's holding the get, says the Baal sent him. His tefisa clearly shows, right, that he was appointed as shliach lahalacha. So it could be, okay, now I'm not sure how much we die now. Okay, yesh la'ayim, it could be also. How do we know this fellow was appointed shliach lahalacha? The answer is, that's part of the edus of the shtar. If he's holding it, he was appointed as shliach. But maybe we'll come back to that. The last thing I just wanted to point out is the shtar made and all the other things that makes it kosher? like, for example, Tosfos holds, we'll get to this, that it's not enough to have Edim Chasima. You also need Edim Asira for the get. Right? It's not enough to have Edim signed on it. You also need Edim who witnessed the handing over of the Masira Saget. Question. The woman comes to Bezdin a year later with the get, has signatures. How do we know that it was given to her in front of Edim? Maybe it was given to her without Edim and it's possible. The Rif and Rama wouldn't have this problem. They say if you have Edim Chasima, you don't need Edim Asira. Famous machlokes we'll get to very soon. But Tosfos holds in the Edim Asira. How do we know there are Edim Asira? So Tosfos has a rule in Daf Daladim and Aleph. Mistama behechsher naseh. We assume every get is kosher. We assume everything was done kosher-wise. All of a sudden, you could say every other possible soul that could happen. How do we know it didn't happen? Okay, maybe they're less likely. But hakol behechsher naseh. And there may or may not be a fascinating Tosfos read about this. Right? In... now, what does it mean if it's stomach hechsher naseh? You could just say it's a rov and a chazaka. People do things the right way. Everyone knows halacha does things the right way. Or you could say No, it's not because I went and checked that everyone knows halacha does things the right way. That's part of the chiddush of shtar. Part of the chiddush of shtar is that it's meyid, that it was chal b'kashrus, which already is getting us closer to our starting point. Let me just point out to you, it may or may not be a fascinating Tosus rid. The problem is there's a girsa problem in the Tosus rid. I apologize for not telling everyone in advance where to find the Tosus rid. Get what? Okay, give me a second. I know. That's my close. That's my close. We're about around. No. Not allowed to talk about that yet.
They need a mesira.
They need a mesira. Fair enough. That was already on the board. 4.1. Okay, fair enough. But the mesira is more obvious. Like, if he's holding it was nimsar, how do we know there were edim mesira? We really have no evidence there were edim mesira. The Tosos Rit also deals with this on Pei Vavim and Beis. And here it's not so clear what he means, but if you read it with the way the Cheshek Shlomo is Magia, the Lashon of the Tosos Rit, which we will for now, right? That's the Haggah on the side, is done by the Cheshek Shlomo, and the old Shasim, it just has like letters and has that Haggah. What does it say? It says, Aval below Eide Chasima, Fili Yadua Shanas Nabala Get, Ve'ena Mavi Eide Masira, Eina Migureshes. Sorry, I have to go back a little. Elavade abal nasno liyaduk she nasulav bekishro nasulav if they ate the mesira. For sure, he did it behechsher. Mistama behechsher nase. Ve'elchad no menes ishalom if they ploni ploni nasulav haklam dinas hayam. Aval below ate chasima. I feel the yadua she nasulav bala get ve'enim ve'ed mesira enim gureshes. What's the Tosfos Rit saying? At least if this is the right girsa, he's saying that without ate chasima, we don't assume that it was done properly. With ate chasima, we assume it was done properly. It's a big chiddush. Hold on. Either we assume everyone knows the halacha and does things properly, or we don't. Why did we say, with Eide Chasima, we assume it was done properly? But without Eide Chasima, we assume people made mistakes. We have a shot. Either people know Hilchos Gittin or they don't. This Tosfos Rit, again, if this is what he actually is correct here, said, is very clear. Why we assume it was done properly? Only because of Eide Chasima, only because of the chiddush of Shtar, not because of a Stam Umdina. So here, you can ask, how about the idea of mistama behechsher nase, meaning eidei mesira. How do we know emhayu eidei mesira? So Taka, the riff holds that we don't know if they were eidei mesira or not. We don't know if they're eidei mesira or not. Tosa says mistama behechsher nase. So what would you say? If there's regular eidos, you might say, like the riff, that, well, Ein Raya Shahayu Eidim Asira. Why is this important? What does that do with the riff? We will get to. You'll just have to take my words for now. I apologize, unless you learned Gittin once before. But what does Tosa say? And Tosa says, nope, there's a rule. Mestama Behechsher Nase. Why is there such a rule as Tosos? You could say that it's just a chazaka. Yeah, it's just a chazaka, nothing to do with the chiddush of shtar. But at the very least, the way that the Rid says it, in our years in the Rid, nope, it is midin eidos shtar. Only midin eidos shtar. If there's no eidos shtar, if there's no eidos chasima, you don't know behechsher nase, says the Rid. Only if there are witnesses signed, do you know behechsher nase. Why? It makes a difference in some of psychology if witnesses are signed or not. No. If there's a shtar, the shtar is meyed to more than it just said. It's meyed behechsher nase. It's meyed the chalos happened. That's the chiddush shtar. It has to be meyed that the chalos happened. Okay, which might be what Tosfos means. Unless Tosfos means the chazaka. And the riff thinks the shtar is not meyed that the chalos happens. Okay, maybe he doesn't think the chiddush shtar lane in that. Keep in mind, when I put these two columns on the board, I don't mean whoever's on one column holds shtar as a chiddush, and whoever's in the other column holds that shtar as regular old-fashioned eidos. What I probably mean is that almost everyone agrees star is a chiddush. Question is, do you make a nafkamina the chiddush to go so far that we have a machlokas? Okay, we have 2 minutes left for the rest of shir. Someone get the board.
So, I don't know, we have a more important to keep my word of finishing shir, or to keep my word of finishing on time. I know what everyone else thinks. The question is what I think.
Okay. It's when I can't go into lunch. Sadly. Okay, basically you get this, the Yesod of the Rav, and the two different ways of looking at Shtar. And again, I think that even the Rav, it's not that he doesn't think Shtar is a Chiddush. Just, he doesn't think the Chiddush is the way the Rav do the Chiddush to go quite so far. But what I just want to do is I didn't take it back to our original thing of Chashash Ziyuf and just fill in one or two makoros about that, which I will very, very briefly next time. But be'ikar next time, I want to start moving on in the Gemara. And I said in the beginning of this Masechet, we're going to have to do like some sugyas, not just go on in the Gemara every time. All the sugyas are going to be called shtars. That's all the sugyas in this Masechet. Until we get to Lishma. That'll be... Maybe we'll save that for a little later, even though it comes up here also. Anyway, Lemaisa, first we're going to go on in the Gemara, and then we're going to talk a little about going on sort of the technical shakla tari in the Gemara, and then talk a lot about the machlokes of Rebbein or Rebbe Lazar, because that's a very, very fundamental machlokes of the Ede Masira Karti or Ede Hasima Karti. And we'll get into that in Amir Tashem next time.